divine souls. I've been explaining to you that there are five ways to determine whether a path is the right path or not. First, you have to know what the goal is that you're trying to achieve through following any path. And so far in this series, you've learned that the goal is to attain God, because God is supreme bliss. And by attaining that supreme bliss, we also become free from suffering forever. So we attain perfect happiness by attaining God. There are three paths to God described in our scriptures: karma, jnana, and bhakti. So I've explained to you in quite a bit of detail that neither karma or jnana have been able to meet the first four criteria. There are five criteria for determining the correctness of a path. So the first one, anvay, does that path take you to your goal? So neither karma or jnana take you all the way to God realization or maya nivritti, freedom from maya. However, the third path, bhakti, does. Vyatirek is the second condition. Obviously, if the second condition being, can you achieve your goal without that path? So obviously, karma and jnana don't even take us all the way to God realization. So there's no question of them qualifying for number two. But bhakti does satisfy the second condition. Without bhakti, no one can reach God. The third condition is that the path should be independent. It shouldn't have the need to be supplemented by any other practice or any other path. Again, no question when it comes to karma and jnana, because they are fully dependent upon bhakti. Only if bhakti is added predominantly to the practice of karma or jnana, only then that path can take its practitioner all the way to God. Bhakti, however, is fully independent. You can do bhakti with no affiliation of any other practice or path, and bhakti will take you to God. So it is supreme. Yesterday I described condition number four, that the correct path must satisfy the condition called sarvatrakita. It should be available to all with no restriction. So I told you that bhakti is found and described in all of the scriptures. Anyone can practice bhakti, whether they are intelligent, not intelligent, they have knowledge, they don't have knowledge. Even someone who's liberated practices bhakti. Someone may be attached in the world, totally detached from the world. A sadhak, a siddh, it makes no difference. Everyone is qualified for this path of bhakti. Sadachari, durachari, sudurachari, everyone is qualified. I also explained that bhakti has no restriction of time or place, that it can only be practiced at a certain time or at a certain place. That bhakti can be practiced using your desires. You just turn your desires towards God. You can use any or all of your senses to practice bhakti. You can also do bhakti with any kind of material. Bhakti samasta dravyon se hota hai. For example, patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparita mashnami prayatatmanah. Gita. Shri Krishna says, offer me anything with bhakti and I will accept it. Like what? He says, like a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or even just simple water. See how easy bhakti is? What if you're very poor? You're thinking, oh, on the path of karma, when we do puja, there's certain things you have to offer. Those have to be purchased. I don't have any money. Well, you can get water, can't you? You can get a leaf, can't you? So anyone can do bhakti. In fact, you can even do it from your mind. That's free. You don't have to get up and go anywhere. Close your eyes, think of offering Bhagwan a glass of water, and you did offer him a glass of water. It doesn't work like that in the world, right? If the wife is cooking for the husband and she decides, Aaj main man se apne pati ki seva karungi. Keval man se. Husband comes home, she's sitting in the living room. You didn't make dinner today? Ah, banaya, man se banaya. This is only possible in bhakti because God knows what you're thinking and He is bhava grahya manidakhyam shvetashvatara upanishad. He only cares about our bhav. In the world, nobody cares about bhav. They want the real thing, right? Let's say you're cooking real food and instead you're making kheer and instead of sugar you put salt. It happens, they look the same if you don't have your jars labeled. Then you think the person eating the kheer is going to be happy that, oh, they put salt instead of sugar because they are absorbed in loving thoughts of me. They won't care. They'll say, stop thinking loving thoughts and make the kheer properly. Bhagwan's the exact opposite. If you make it exactly perfectly for him, but there was no love in your heart when you made it, it won't taste good to him. But you enter into bhav and put salt instead of sugar, he'll happily eat that. He'll be more happy with that. So anyone can do bhakti with any kind of material. You just offer it from your heart. Bhakti is also practiced in all the yugas, in all the ashrams, all the stages of life. And bhakti is completely and totally for everybody. It can be practiced with any karma. You just offer that karma to Bhagwan. So you see, bhakti perfectly satisfies all the first four criteria. The fifth criteria is sanatanatva. It means that the outcome of the path should not be temporary. And the path itself should not cease to be useful. It should last forever. Both karma and jnana fail in this respect. You see, what does karma give? Karma gives swarg. Punyena punyalokam nayati. Mundaka Upanishad. You do punya, you accumulate punya by doing all the good karma. The outcome is given to you in swarg. Te tam bhuktva swargalokam vishalam chine punye martyalokam vishanti. Gita. After enjoying the outcome of all that punya, the punya is finished. Chirna is totally used up. So that means karma gave you swarg and karma itself died. Margaya. So it is not amrit, it is not sanatan. It gives you a temporary result. And once you're there in swarg, you can't perform any more karma. You have to wait until you come back here. The path of jnana, what does it do? It eliminates ajnana. This ajnana that I am the body, I've forgotten I'm the soul. So by following the practice of this jnana marg, you eliminate this ignorance. But once you've eliminated that ignorance and you're established in samadhi, you know what the highest point of that samadhi is? It's called niranjan jnana. When you're so absorbed that something called triputi, three things. Gyata, gyeya, gyan. Gyata means the knower. Gyeya means the one that you know. And gyan, the knowledge of that one. Those three become one. So now how can you know anything? You don't know anything at that point. Your mind is totally absorbed. So you see, gyan got rid of agyan, and gyan itself mar gaya. Even in the state of liberation, if you want to take it one step further, when the gyani surrenders to God and gets liberated, he merges into formless God, and at that time he is relieved of all the bondages, including his mind, because his mind was also material. So without a mind, what can he know? Nothing. So gyan is finished in that state as well. And there's no more practice of gyan. Once you reach that level, that's it. There's no more reason to keep doing the practice of gyan. But bhakti, Naradji says, amrita swarupacha, Narad bhakti darshan. Bhakti is amrit. Not the amrit that they have in swarg. We know they have nectar, they drink, gives them strength, makes them not afflicted by death or old age or any kind of illness for as long as they're in swarg, although eventually they have to leave there and come back here. It's not that amrit. Here, amrit means everlasting in the divine world. So you see, we practice bhakti, we reach God, and then what do? We keep doing more bhakti. Even Bhagwan does bhakti. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tastathaiva bhajamyaham. Gita. He says when a soul surrenders to him, he does their bhakti. Bhakti means bhaj sevayam. Seva. In the divine world, what do? When you get there? You get to serve Bhagwan. You get to do his bhakti, but there you're doing divine bhakti. Here you do devotional bhakti to purify your heart. Once your heart is fully purified, you get God's grace, you get a divine mind, senses, body. When you leave this physical world, where do you go? You go in his divine abode. And there in his divine abode, you get to serve him and take part in his leelas forever. So you keep doing bhakti over there. In other words, you keep loving him, you keep serving him, and he also loves and serves you. Pratikchana vardhamanam, Naradji says, and thus that bliss of bhakti goes on multiplying every moment, even after God realization. So bhakti is amar, sanatan. It never dies. You do bhakti now, even once you attain God, you keep doing bhakti and the bliss of bhakti goes on multiplying. So now you understand that the path of bhakti is supreme. It is the only way to reach God. It is the only path that fulfills all five of these criteria set forth by our darshan shastras to determine what is the correct path. One time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji and one of his disciples, Rai Ramanand, who was also a great scholar, they had a discussion. Mahaprabhuji wanted to reveal the correct goal for a soul. So although he has the total knowledge, he's the descendant of Radha Krishna, yet he is asking his own disciple questions, and his disciple is answering. So he says, tell me the goal of human life. Jivan ka laksh kya hai? So in order to answer, Ramanand, he quoted from Gita. He said, Svai svai karmanya bhiratah sansiddhim labhate narah. By fulfilling all of his duties and responsibilities, by following dharma, doing all good karma, a person attains perfection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, that only takes you as far as swarg, doing all these good actions. Tell me something higher. He says, again quoting from Gita, Yat karoshi yadashnasi yajjuhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat kurushva madarpanam. He says, surrender all of your actions to God. Keep doing all of those good actions, but surrender them to God. At the time you're doing that action, surrender it to God. Think of Him. Do it for Him. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji said, yes, that's better. However, that is being done just by someone who doesn't want to receive the effect of their karma. Because they know the philosophy is, if you have your mind attached to God while you perform the action, you don't get the result of the action. So, it's good, you're getting free from the bandhan of those actions, but there's something higher. Tell me something greater than that. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma shuchah. Again, quoting from Gita, where Shri Krishna says, Arjun, surrender to me only, leaving all other practices and formalities, just become surrendered to me, and I will eliminate all the bondages for you. You see, by surrendering your current actions to God, you won't be bound by those actions. But what about the uncountable past actions from your previous unlimited lifetimes? So you have to surrender to Shri Krishna 100%, then He deletes all that past stock. So He says, okay, yes, this is better. However, tell me something higher. Then He says, Brahma bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakankshati sama sarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashchashmi tatvatah tato mam tat vato gyatva vishate tadanantaram. Gita. He says, Shri Krishna describes that you fully purify your heart, you surrender to Him, and through that surrender, through bhakti, you know Him in full, you get Brahma Gyan, and you get total liberation and enter into Him. Vishate tadanantaram. You enter into Shri Krishna, into His formless, impersonal aspect. This is total liberation, absolute liberation, moksha. So He says, yes, this is higher, but you know I am virodhi of moksha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhuji says, Taro madhye mokchavancha kaitav pradhan. The worst of all deceptions is this liberation where you merge into formless God. Why? Because it's like a salt doll diving into the ocean. He wants to know the ocean. Wants to experience the ocean, but as soon as he entered the ocean, he melted. So it's like you merged into God, fine, but you have no experience of God in that state where you merge into formless God. So what's the use of such an existence? You want to experience God with your senses, know Him with your mind, but the one who attains this Kaivalya Moksha gets no mind in the divine world, no body, no senses. So he has no way of experiencing anything. Anyway, Mahaprabhuji said, you tell me something higher than moksha. Then he had to quote from the Bhagavatam. Jnane prayasa mudapasya namanta eva jivanti sanmukharitam. Bhavadiyavartam sthane sthita Shrutigatam Tanuvang Manobhir Ye Prayasho Jita Jito Pyasitais Trilokyam. Abandoning all other practices of karma, dharma, yoga, everything. Just sitting, listening to, and meditating upon your leelas. Brahma is saying to Shri Krishna, it's a quote from the Bhagavatam, the one who worships you in this way, abandoning all other formalities, practices, paths, just doing pure bhakti and loving you in this way, that person conquers you who are unconquerable. How can God be defeated? Can never be defeated. But the one who does bhakti to him in this way, Bhagwan haar maan lete hain. Because we didn't ask him for anything. If we ask him for something, even a worldly thing, we ask him for liberation, he can give that. He can give anything. But all we do is love him and we give ourselves to him, surrender ourselves to him, and don't ask for anything in return. We only love him for his happiness. He doesn't know what to do. So he has to give his own self. He becomes ours. That's why it is said that the soul conquers God, or God becomes subservient to the soul. In a sweet, positive, loving way. Then Mahaprabhuji said, yes, this is the highest goal. This is the true goal of a soul. So through such bhakti, you get that divine state. You see, the Bhagavatam is the crown jewel of all the Sanskrit scriptures. It has the most complete description of the path of bhakti. There are a few places in the Bhagavatam which are famous for their description of the path of bhakti. In the very beginning, Sutji Maharaj is a great saint who's known for having the total knowledge of all the Puranas especially, but he also knows Darshan Shastras, Vedas, etc. Shaunakadik Paramahans, some great Jnani Paramahansas, they were doing a 1,000-year yajna. While this was going on, Sutji Maharaj came. So they were very happy to see him. They asked him to sit on a proper asana and they started asking him spiritual questions. So the first thing they asked him is that you know all these scriptures. So in all these scriptures, there are so many different paths described. And it is Kaliyug. So the people of Kaliyug, how will they study all of that and understand? First of all, in Kaliyug, people don't live as long. Secondly, they're extra distracted during Kaliyug. They have so many distracting factors in their life. In addition to that, their mind, their intelligence is less in Kaliyug. Add to that that the people of Kaliyug are generally more lazy than in any other yug. They have less interest in following any path or doing any sadhana. So considering all of this, Sutji Maharaj, you please tell us the best path for the souls of Kaliyug to follow, considering their limitations, for them to attain the ultimate thing that they could possibly attain. So Sutji Maharaj answers, Savai punsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje ahai tukya pratihata yayatma samprasidati. He says, the paradharma, the supreme dharma, the supreme duty, the supreme path, is bhakti. Whatever increases your bhakti for Shri Krishna, that is the supreme dharma. And he says that bhakti should be ahaituki, just like I was describing, not asking for anything from God, just loving him for his happiness. And apratihata, it should be continuous. It's not something you just practice for a couple hours a day. It's a consciousness that you maintain, a loving relationship with God that stays in your heart all the time. Such bhakti can result in the ultimate attainment of the soul. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yogo Yato Bhavet. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita. Janayatyashu Vairagyam Jnanancha Yadahaitukam. And through practicing such bhakti, jnana and vairagya come automatically. You get knowledge of God and you get detachment from the world without doing any other practice. Dharma swanushthita punsam vishvaksena kathasuya notpadayed yadiratim shrama eva hi kevalam. The highest practice of dharma and karma, if it does not develop love, bhakti for God in your heart, then shrama eva hi kevalam, it is only effort. You're doing labor, but you're not getting the proper result. So you see, they said bhakti is supreme, and then they address the path of jnana, saying it's unnecessary if you're doing bhakti. Then they address the path of karma and dharma, and said that even if you're doing all of those good actions, if you're not developing such selfless bhakti in your heart, then your actions are mere labor, and you're not receiving the correct fruit for your labor. Vasudeva paraveda, Vasudeva paramakha, Vasudeva parayoga, Vasudeva parakriya, Vasudeva param jnanam, Vasudeva parantapa, Vasudeva paro dharmo, Vasudeva paragati. Sutji is describing more about bhakti, saying that Shri Krishna is the ultimate goal of all the actions, all the paths. He's the ultimate reason for the Vedas, for every verse of every Veda. So he is our ultimate goal. You should do bhakti to him and attain the ultimate goal of your life. So this is in gist how Sutji Maharaj answered their question by saying that bhakti is the supreme path, and only through bhakti you can attain your supreme goal. In the second canto, this is in the first skand of Bhagavat, in the second skand, there's another question. Parikshit is asking Shukadevji. Parikshit received the divine vision of Shri Krishna when he was still in the womb, when Shri Krishna came to save him from Ashwatthama's Brahmastra. So he appeared and saved Parikshit at that time. So when Parikshit was born, he was looking around. He didn't want to see the faces of all the people around him. He was looking in their face, but he was looking for Shri Krishna. Where's that blue complexion, beautiful boy that I saw when I was in the womb? You're not him. You're not him. You're not him. Where is he? That's how he got his name, Parikshit. He's like looking, trying to find Shri Krishna everywhere. So that Parikshit, when he found out that he only had 1 week to live, 7 days, and then he was going to get bit by a poisonous snake and die. So he went to the bank of Ganga and declared his intention to just sit and think of Shri Krishna until the time of his death came. And into that place came many hundreds of eternal saints who joined him there on the bank of Ganga. And once they had all gathered, then Shukadevji himself came. And they all welcomed him, did his puja, sat him on the highest asana, and then Parikshit started asking him questions. So he said, I only have 7 days to live. What is a person who is about to die supposed to do? Question number one. And question number two, what is the best thing for everybody else? I mean, we may die at any time as well, but we think we have a lot longer to live. So he's saying, I know I'm going to die very soon now. What should I do? And as for regular people in the world, what is the best path for them to follow? So he answered, Tasmad Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Chata Bhayam. He said, Shukadevji said, the answer is the same. Whether you're about to die or whether you think you have a long life in front of you, do three things. Shravan, Kirtan, Smaran. Shravan Bhakti means what you're doing right now. Listening to the philosophy, the divine philosophy, or listening to the Leelas of Shri Krishna. This is Shravan Bhakti. Kirtan Bhakti, we were doing before, chanting Shri Krishna's name, about his form, his leelas, his virtues, his abode, his divine associates. Any such chanting is called Kirtan Bhakti. And the most important, Smarana Bhakti, remember him all the time. He said that's what you should do when you're on your deathbed, and that's what you should do all the rest of the time too. Said, for the ordinary souls who are attached in this world and distracted by the world, nahyato nya shiva pantha vishato vishato vismaranti cha vishato sansara divi bhakti yogo vasudeve bhagavati bhakti Yogo yato bhavet. Again, he comes back to bhakti. For someone who is so attached in this world, there is no other path for them other than the path of bhakti. Bhagavan brahmakartsnyena triranvikshya manishaya Tadadhyavasyat kutastho ratiratmanyato bhavet Tasmat sarvatmanarajan hari sarvatra sarvada Shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyo bhagavan nrinam. He says, Brahma poured through all the scriptures three times to try to find out what is the essence of all of that knowledge, and what he came up with was, develop bhakti for Shri Krishna. That's the knowledge of all the knowledges, that's the path of all the paths. Therefore, Parikshit, all the time, everywhere, always do Shravana, Kirtan, and Smaran of the soul of your soul, Shri Krishna. So that's how he answered his question. In the third skand, the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Devahuti is receiving teachings from her son, who happens to be an avatar of Bhagwan. We know him as Bhagwan Kapil. So Bhagwan Kapil also describes bhakti. Etavaneva lokesmin punsam nishreyasodaya tibrena bhakti yogena mano mayarpitam sthiram. He says the only true duty of a soul is to immediately, through bhakti, surrender their mind to me. He's Bhagwan, so he's saying me, first person. Then he describes more about bhakti, and he says that there are four kinds of bhakti. Tamas, Rajas, Sattvic, and Nirgun. Tamas Bhakti means someone is angry and out of hatred, they're doing bhakti. Like a rakshas who wants to kill Indra, so he does bhakti to Bhagwan to try to get some power. That's tamas bhakti. Then someone who just has an ordinary worldly desire they want to get fulfilled, and they do devotion to God, that's rajas bhakti. Someone else feels that it's their duty, that I'm a soul and he's Bhagwan, so I should do bhakti to him. So as a good action, they're doing bhakti. That's sattvic bhakti. And then he says there's one nirguna bhakti. Mano gatiravichinna yatha gangam bhasom budhau. Just like Gangaji has an uninterrupted flow towards the ocean, a devotee's thoughts flow continuously from their mind towards Sri Krishna. Lakshanam bhakti yogasya nirgunasya hyudahritam ahaitukim avyavahita sa bhakti purushottame. So he says this is called nirguna bhakti when it's done without any desire. And it's done with that feeling of love, simply to love Sri Krishna, not even out of a sense of duty. Just because you're related to him, you feel that you're his and he belongs to you, so you love him. That is nirguna bhakti. And he also emphasizes it should be ahaituki, no desire, no demand, only love for the sake of loving him, for his happiness. And avyavahita, it should be ananya. In other words, no affiliation of any other practice, just one desire to attain Sri Krishna. In the seventh skandh of the Bhagavatam, Prahladji gives some teachings to his friends there in the demon Gurukul, the Balak Asur. So he tells them, Kaumar acharet pragyo dharman bhagavata niha bhagavati niha. Oh, my young friends, they're all 5, 6 years old. Don't wait to do devotion until later. You don't know how long your life is going to last. No one has a guarantee they're even going to become a teenager, let alone live to retirement, where they think they'll have more time and at that time they'll do devotion. He says, no, 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 your life could finish at any time. So start doing devotion now. Why? Etavaneva lokesmin punsa swartha para smrita ekanta bhaktir govinde yat sarvat. He says, because the ultimate swarth, the param swarth of a soul can only be fulfilled through ekanta bhakti of Govinda, through single-minded devotion, wholehearted devotion to Govinda, Sri Krishna. And such devotion means you never forget that he's with you. You see him everywhere. You always remember, I'm not alone. You see him in everyone and in everything. Only then, when you develop such bhakti, can you attain the ultimate goal of your life. Swarth means swa-arth. Swa mane me-ka, meaning mine. That or of me. So, main ka matlab hai atma. To atma ka arth. Arth meaning goal, the thing that you want, the thing you need. So, what is your swarth? Your swartha paraha means your supreme swarth. That is only getting ultimate bliss and freedom from maya. And that can only be attained through such bhakti to Bhagwan. There's a lot more to tell about the path of bhakti. The Bhagavatam describes more. And we have to understand in great detail about how to practice this path of bhakti, what are the conditions of practicing the path of bhakti, what things you have to keep in mind. But I'll have to continue this in my further speeches. Boliye Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki Jai.